Unsealed. The Letters of Bessa Fardwick. Details on Lifestyle. Letters are much more than just paper and ink. Bessa's letters are full of colors and tastes, sounds and textures, smells and stuff. Well, not literally, of course, but the world they describe is as rich as you can imagine when you visit Hardwick Hall or when you look at portraits of Bess and her family. The world Bess lived in comes to life in her letters. Fashion was important to Bess and her friends. Clearly the dresses they wear on their portraits were chosen with care, not only because they look spectacular, but also because they represent the right image about the sitter. Only the wealthy could afford rich materials and designs that used them in abundance in the neck ruffs, in the layer of skirts and the puffy sleeves. A young girl would wear different colors from an elderly widow, and jewelry was an excellent way to show off one's status. But while portraits give us an impression of what dresses looked like, letters go a step further. They explain about the materials, about how dresses were made, and how important and fast-lived fashion was, even 400 years ago. When Bess was in her early 40s, her friend Frances Cobham kept her up to date with the fashions at the court of Elizabeth I, where she was Lady of the Bedchamber. And she reveals that the Queen was also a fashion victim.
"I have basted the sleeve of that width that will best content the Queen. The length all wrought will be short enough then. I know they will be well liked. They are fine and strong."
Frances then explains the latest styles for clothes in London in the 1560s. The lines are simple, the cuts are clean, and there is a new taste for austerity.
"Fashion is much altered since you were here. 10 yards are enough for the wrinkles of the neck and hands. Your loving cousin and assured friend ever, Frances Cobham."
Clearly, earlier fashions used much more material for neck and sleeve ruffs. Good fabric has always been expensive, and any extra expense for a child's clothes, any attempts to go beyond the necessary basics, were a sign of love and care. Bess's half-sister, Elizabeth Wingfield, looked after Bess's granddaughter Arbella for a while, and when Arbella was 10 years old, Aunt Elizabeth spent much time looking for just the perfect fabric for a dress for Arbella. In a letter from 1585, she writes to Bess,
"Your sweet jewel, thank God, hath good health, and is so good a child as can be. This day I sent for a tailor, to make her brave your honour's green velvet. But we want an L, and there was but 5 yards and a quarter. To make her gown, full 7 yards will but serve for that breadth. She shall want nothing within my power to encourage her well-doing."
But fashion was not just for the ladies. Bess's fourth husband George gave very specific instructions to his servant when he was in the market for a new leather jacket.
"Baldwin, I would have you buy me a Spanish leather jerkin, very plain, with long cuts. And I will have it with a long belly and broad in the shoulders and lined with parchment of gear. Your loving master, George Shrewsbury."
What a world. Everything is made to measure, with much detail and care. And while our clothes today are certainly much more comfortable to wear, are you not just a little bit jealous of Bess?
"And so, wishing you all honour and happiness, I will take my leave. From Hardwick, your ever-assured, loving friend, Elizabeth Shrewsbury."
This podcast was written, narrated and produced by Anke Timmermann. You will find a list of all contributors on our webpage, www.bessofhardwick.org/listen.